Once again, a good afternoon and a welcome to Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, a program decided to inspire young people by listening to other young people's stories. And of course, it's brought to you by kind compliments of Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need. Make sure you go check out their new promotion right now. Land is for everyone, no payments for the first two months, 100% financing, 5.99% interest rate, and up to 15 years to repay. Of course, terms and conditions apply. Bank of St. Lucia, I'm coming. I'm on my way. I'm privileged this afternoon to have my guest live from the UK in Rodney Bay. He goes by the name of Jen. Jen, good afternoon. How are you doing? Thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview.
I'm good, bro. How are you? You can hear me fine?
Everything yeah, right? Everything is fine. We're just testing out some new equipment also. So, you know, thank you for being our guinea pig this afternoon. Jen, let's first start off by who is Jen and why the name Jen and what's like what's your real name? Like, you know, all these questions I got to ask. I don't know where you want to start.
Well, my real name's Yannick.
What? Yannick?
Yeah, my name's Yannick. Yeah, Jen... I know, bro. Jen came from when I was born and raised in St. Lucia, and I left when I was about 10, and I started school in East London, and when I joined school in East London, I had, like, a strong, obviously, St. Lucian accent.
Right.
So, being, you know, a lot of people over there, once they hear your accent is Caribbean, they assume you're Jamaican. So, people started saying, yeah, what happened in general? What gone general? So, Jen is from General. Like, that was my name. It was General. Just a nickname that was given to me.
Oh, okay.
I change it from General to Jen, basically, yeah. All right.
Pretty cool. So let's talk, before you moved over to the UK, what was it like in St. Lucia, and, you know, what was the reason why you guys moved up?
So I basically moved to the UK because my dad moved over there. He moved to England when I was younger, when my mom and dad split up. And it was basically just, you know, for, you know, the whole, you know, different life, new life, better schooling, education, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I basically went over there, and, you know, it was just mostly for just a change of scenery and a new life. And then basically I started school, and I was just thrown into a whole different culture, a whole different environment of grime music, because I'm from East London, where grime is birthed, where Wiley and then Skepta and Kano and all from. So I fell in love with this new form of music that was so foreign to me, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, what is this? Because never hear, obviously, this growing up in St. Lucia. And I was it. I was just in a playground, just trying little things, and, you know, started writing and rapping, and and I realized I was apparently good at that. So, yeah.
You know, it's kind of, it even falls in with my interview week before last. I was talking to a well-known guy, and he was saying that, you know, a lot of St. Lucians, we need to experiment with that British music. And that was one of the reasons why I said, yes, have to have Jen on the program. And funny enough, a couple months ago, I had Jay Lucia on. And he was able to give me that perfect transition from, you know, the British to Lucian accent. Can you do the same, or you've totally lost the Lucian accent?
Trust me. The only reason I'm talking to you my British accent is because whenever I do interviews and I talk to girls, I give the British accent.
I definitely know how it is. Let's talk about you know, the whole transition. Like you said, it was a totally different vibe from what you used to in St. Lucia. Did you have a difficulty adjusting? Well, first of all, you have the British beautiful weather. What was the adjustment like for you?
It was tough, I'm not gonna lie. It was At the time, it didn't seem tough because I was young and it's just bright lights, big cities, and, you know, it's a new environment. You make new friends. You're in school. Great. When you start growing up, you start realizing this place isn't that great. Like, it's all just for image and show and stuff. But really and truly, like, mentally, like, I wasn't in a great place. And that's the reason I moved back home. But, I mean, I'm here and I'll probably go back to London in the summer or so. But it was a difficult transition. Like, there's a lot of things that growing up here you don't think about, like racism, right, you know, weather. Like, yeah, for it to be raining 24/7 and gray, and that plays a very big part on, like, your mood and just your everything. So, like, it was a very big change, but luckily I managed to adapt just because of I always prioritize just the UK music culture and the black culture. Like, I fell in love with that so much I didn't mind all the other stuff, basically. So yeah, it was tough, but eventually, yeah, it was blessing. Yeah,
I like that. Now let's talk about music. How did that happen, man? I mean, like you said, you're on the playground, you get the grime music, you get your Wiley, you get your Skepta, and then, you know, Boy Better Know, you know, all that kind of vibe, and then yeah, there's transition into that. How did that happen, man?
Well, it's much deeper, and it starts from obviously earlier, because my dad was a songwriter, and he was always in the music industry. He was a music promoter. He was writing songs of Beres Hammond, Jack Huey. Oh, he was really? A Bounty Killer. Yeah, he was bringing, you know what I mean, big artists to the UK as a promoter. So my whole life has always been music. Like, growing up, all I was hearing was Beres Hammond, Jack Huey, and that shaped me in terms of when I was like a child. I used to go to my room and try to like write little love songs like Beres Hammond and stuff. So it's always been in me, because it's all I've known. It's my whole life. And then it's only when I went to the UK I discovered another version of trying to get out what I was trying to say, and it's just in the form of rap, and that matched my personality more because of the type of person I am, more off the cuff, like, I don't know, like rebellious kind of. So like the whole that, I fell in love with that because I feel like I could be myself in a safe space of just saying what I want to say through the form of rap. And the culture over there in East London, especially like in grime music, it's like a battlefield. It's mm-hmm. It's just who's got the best bars, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm, now, mm-hmm. In the middle of the playground, pressure's on. So it trains you. It's like the battlefield for training you for the music industry. So now it's like, yeah, anything goes. I can write in 5 minutes. I've been doing this, like, you know what I mean? So it was an interesting transition, but I'm very happy of having the Caribbean roots and then transitioning over to, you know, grime and that sort of music, for sure.
Now, a lot of people in St. Lucia are not necessarily familiar with the grime music. How would you define, and for someone who never heard it before, how would you explain what grime is?
It's basically like I always think of it as the rap form of like, yeah, what Caribbeans and stuff do. Because in the UK, there's a big Caribbean community, and like a lot of these sounds come from dancehall and reggae and this and that. It comes from sound clash culture, which is basically reggae and Caribbean roots. So grime basically came from garage music, which was like before my time in the UK, where it's like fast tempoed, rapping on the beat really quick and stuff. And then grime just kind of tailored it more to, you know, the ends and the mandem and then like what we're trying to say kind of thing. Who don't know, it's basically like a fast tempo. It's 140 BPM if you want to get technical and stuff, if people are musicians out there.
and
it's just a form of rapping that I respect so much, because hip-hop and rap and these things, it's like, you know, I feel like my grandmother can freestyle on that. Prime music is like, it's such a technical tempo, it's such a technical type of genre that I just fell in love with the technicality of it. How are you going to rap on this and fit the pockets and spit at double time and stuff? So that's kind of basically what it is. It comes from the garage scene, but the elements are from the Caribbean, from sound clash, reggae, and dancehall, and you know, that kind of culture.
Definitely. Now that you're in the industry, what are some of the high moments first, or should we say the low moments when you're like, yeah, I don't really want to do this? What was really some of your experiences like that?
I've had so many highs and lows, which is why I stopped music for a while. Like, I was out of the, I'm really sorry about this. I know this is unprofessional, but...
I mean, he's literally in the studio right now. So yeah.
But don't stop. Yeah. Caleb can come say walk on for RCI.
You'll see an MC.
Big up me.
Yeah, there's been a lot of like highs and lows and stuff, man. And flipping one of the lows for me is when I was, you know, I was a teenager and I was doing music and stuff and things were going great. I was getting recognized by some of my idols, some of the best artists in the industry. Yo, this kid is crazy, blah, blah. But it wasn't paying me enough. Mm. So, you know, as most musicians do, you know, I was young. I had to go and get a job because there was a lot of stuff that happened in my family. I was living on my own. There was a lot of drama and stuff that happened that would force me to stop music and just go and focus on working and paying my bills and stuff. And every time I tried to do that, my spirit just wouldn't allow me. Like, I would end up in some form of depression or something because I'm not doing what my soul is telling me to do, and that's music. And it's not only recently, end of 2019, when I came back home in St. Lucia and I linked up with, you know, KO, and I went into business with him with Solstice and all this. That's when I fell in love with music again, because I remember that, you know what I mean? Like, it's the purpose of what I'm doing. Like, it's not, do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, so that's kind of the lows for me, where it's times where you feel like nothing's going to happen, whatever. But I always tell people, man, if you're passionate about something, just keep going at it, and it will eventually just turn into some sort of finance. So that's like the lows. But the highs have been amazing. I've done festivals. I've performed, you know, in many places all around the world. And I do songwriting. As much as I'm a rapper, I write for singers as well. I've written for some, very... you know, well-known artists and stuff. So
yeah, I want to tell y'all, but you know that disclaimer I can't say it.
Yeah, I don't really like talking about that, because it's just like, yeah, but the lows have been low, but the highs have been amazing, and I'm just riding off of a high now, where I'm just back to doing what I love. I'm just dropped a project with Kale. I'm writing music for other people. I'm working on like our own independent label. I'm trying to help the youth and younger artists with, you know, the experience I've got from going over there. A lot of artists in St. Lucia don't know about distribution and Apple Music and Spotify, how to get your stuff on there, and PRS. So it's just something that I'm trying to make bigger than me. And me and Kale always say that Solstice is bigger than us. It's about what we do for the next generation. So
that's really cool. I'm glad that you started to talk about Solstice. That's the direction I want to go. We've spoken to KO, but from your perspective, what is Solstice?
Solstice is one of the... Okay, I always tell Kale about this, but it's one of the best things that's ever happened to my life, because I've always had a vision of what I wanted to do in terms of be a creative, but also help other creators, because we know what the industry is like. It's like, I can't rely on the government to pull through this or create a hub where creators can do this or shows. You have to kind of just do it yourself. So for me, Solstice is, by creatives for creatives, and that goes across everything. So at first it just started with, you know, just music and stuff we were doing. Now it's like, you know, we're starting on The Wave on Saturday with Solstice Radio. Mm-hmm. Then we have a podcast which we're starting as well. It's going to be for YouTube. Then you have the songs on Apple Music, Spotify, then voiceovers, ads. I just wanted to be a hub of creativity, and I've always had this vision. And when I met up with KO, he told me about Solstice, and I said, bro, this is exactly what my whole vision in life has been. So it made sense just to join forces, and now this is what the business is based on. It's just helping young creatives and not feel the way KO and I did. You don't want to be a young St. Lucian that feels like, I can't make it here, I cannot be myself here. So a young KO is going to feel like, I have to go to Toronto. A young Jen is going to feel like, I have to go to London in order to make it big. It's like, but Jamaica does it all the time. Why can't you just be in Jamaica? And just, when I'm in clubs in London, all I hear is Jamaican tunes and Vybz Kartel, Mavado, Popcorn. Like, why can't we do that? So I'm just a bit tired of the excuses. And for me now, it's like, let's just support each other and just all creatives come together and let's do it. And that's what Solstice is for me.
I really like that concept, you know, taking the talent here, let's start from here, and, you know, let's package it to go up there, but you don't have to necessarily move. And I love that concept, and I'm solely behind that. What are the challenges that you are faced? Because I know it is difficult, because, and I could say this, I might get in trouble for it, but, you know, it's the fact that what we find is that a lot of St. Lucian artists, once their song is being rotated heavily on radio, they feel they make it. And you know, what challenges do you have, and how do you deal with those egos, especially you and KO experiencing performing on large stages, and you're like, you're comparing, like, bro, like, you ain't reached nowhere yet. Like, how do y'all deal with those egos?
I'm very particular of like the type of people I work with, because I need to know that you're in it for your soul is in this. As if you come to me and you're talking about, yeah, I want to do this just to make money, it's like already a no for me. So for me, it's just mostly about, you can come to my gym. I know everyone's just looking at me like, can I for me, it's just like, it's just reminding artists, like, yeah, just to basically be humble, man. Like, this is nothing. And even when you do get to the top, just still just be humble. Like, yeah, you can have your, because I'm a very confident person, and people will say that I'm arrogant, and it's like, no, I just believe in like what I do. But even when you get to the top, it's like, you still have to just be humble. Like Drake is a perfect example. This guy is all the way the biggest artist in the world, but he still, you know, does the groundwork. He still does his little freestyles. He still writes bars. He lives in the studio. So don't ever think like you're too good for it. So I always tell artists that, like, if you think you're too big, like, look at what Drake is doing. This guy doesn't have to drop an album ever again. Like, he's a millionaire. He's cool. But he drops projects every single couple of months, or he's doing the features and stuff. So you have to keep working, man. And that's kind of how Solstice filters and evaluates, like, who, like, we work with. It's just based on people who want to work and who's passionate about what they do.
I love that vision. And I'll probably talk to you after this on a personal note, how I could get involved in that. The ultimate goal for Solstice, what would that be for you? I mean, how many artists would you love to see blow up and become the next big thing? And I don't want to compare and say the next Rihanna, the next this isn't. And I purposely said the next Rihanna for a specific reason. If you get it, you get it. who do you, like, what do you think would be the ultimate goal for you guys? Or what would make you guys say, yes, we have accomplished our goal?
The good thing about Solstice is all of us have our different parts to play in it. So it's like, I know what mine is. I know what Chaos is. I know what Dwight's is. Dwight, our guitarist. We're basically like the ones who head things up. So it's not just one thing. For me, my ultimate goal is, I've always said I wanted to own my own record label. I want to have an independent label where I'm an A&R, because I don't want to be doing this rap stuff forever. Like, I enjoy it. It's great. Yeah, cool. Yeah. But the reason I do songwriting on the side is because, you know, I've got crazy anxiety. I've got like mental illnesses. I've got bipolar disorder. I've got so many things wrong with me, bro. Like, it's like, I like to just be in the background and just, I'll write this and then that can go. I don't always want to be at the front. I like just being in the back sometimes. So for me, it's like, if I can get to a point where I have my own label, I'm writing for artists, I'm an A&R where I'm signing artists and I'm doing this and that, that's when I know that, yeah, great. I don't know how many, like, I know who the artists are that I love working with and I want to do stuff with, but as many as possible, basically. And I know that Dwight's vision is to have his guitar stuff and have me running masterclasses and helping guitarists. I know KO wants to do, you know what I mean? So everybody, that's the good thing about Solstice, is a collective of people who just, we all have the same vision, just working in different departments. So it's, yeah.
That's amazing. Now, I'm like a serious Brit because the grime and that yeah, like, you know, the whole boy better know them. That's my kind of stuff, you know?
By the way, did you live
Let me tell you, I will do the migraine scan for you and all that kind of thing right now. I will go all that way. You know what I'm saying? I've always said that, you know, grime and Denry segment, a collaboration needs and a merger needs to be done between those genres.
That's already done, bro. Trust me. Like,
y'all holding out? What? Yo, what? Hey, I'm not hearing.
Everything people say and you should do, like, I'm like, yeah, it's all done. Like, you should do a podcast. Yeah, that's where I am right now. I'm finishing the meeting. And you need to sure, like, that's that. Dwight literally just played me a beat because he's working on some beats. I have some other producers. I'm talking to other Lucian artists, and yeah, that's what we want to do. Like, I want to mix the not even the grime. I mean, grime, yeah, but it's more the drill. Will work so perfect. So yeah, that's already in the works. Don't worry, you'll hear it and you'll be like, oh yeah, that's what Jim was saying.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in hearing that. Like, but let's talk about some of the artists in Singing Usha that you guys are currently working. I don't know if you can say about that. Who you guys are working with and what are some projects that we can expect coming out of your camp?
So Too Paranoid for Paradise just dropped to me and Kale. Right. That's like the first, I guess, official. I mean, Kale's obviously been dropping stuff forever, and I've been dropping stuff on my own, but as under the first, like, Solstice collective, it's Too Paranoid for Paradise. That did extremely well, better than we thought for a project that was done in a short space of time. So that was the first thing. Before that, at the end of 2019 and the whole of last year, Kale and I was putting together the Birds album, which was a compilation album with, you know, me, Kale, Dwight, Rashad, Joseph, obviously Tedis and John, Arthur Allen, Sidale, Shemi J., Toriel. It literally was just a compilation of all of that. So it's basically a continuation from that. So the artists we're working with are pretty much people like that. So Rashad, obviously, and OV Gang. Rashad, to me, is one of the most talented people I've met in my life. Rashad, yeah. Joseph, the saxophonist, as I'm sure you'll know. He is ridiculous. I've met people all over the world. That guy is a... engineer, producer, rapper, songwriter, the lead saxophonist, like everything. so he is for me the most, one of the most talented people I've met. And I mean, obviously there's Ozzy, who produced the beat for Take Your Time on the Birds album. He's a producer, young producer from St. Lucia. It's like, why are we not doing stuff with these people? And there's Kilo as well, producer.
Big up Kilo.
So we're just, yeah, it's just, you know, we're here, there, and everywhere. But that's like the immediate, like, of what we're doing right now, just, you know, building the team and so on.
Definitely. And let me tell you, I'm looking forward especially to that drill Demi segment vibe, you know. I'm looking forward to that for sure. Trust me, I'll be the first person to blast it. And make sure you officially launch it first right here on Radio Caribbean International. Just letting you know, make sure. Of course, the program that we're doing here is dedicated to inspire young people to do better. Yeah, and especially now we're talking about the music industry, and a lot of people have the misconception, and I guess you cleared that up earlier on by discussing what Drake is doing still. He doesn't have to do it, but he's still continuously putting out music, putting out projects. Let's talk to the youth, people who might be inspired or who might think that, hey, let me go to the music industry because that's easy money. I get famous, I get girls, I get cars, I get everything.
It's not that. Imagine, I literally said this to Timber, big up yourself, Timber. I was on FaceTime to Timber earlier, and we were having the same conversation, and she was like, I just always find myself always tired, and people have this thing where it's like, but all you do is just go out and party and drink and just go. I'm like, yo, I'm working 24/7. Every time you see me out, I'm or in, that's all I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, I wake up 3 a.m. and I just work. And I was giving an example saying that when you work a 9-to-5 job, you just basically go to the job, you do what you do, you leave, that's it. But work for yourself. Remember, this is a self-employed business where if you don't do it, it won't get done. I have to send these emails. I have to do this, contact this person, get this producer. Do you know what I mean? Artwork, videos. So it's not an easy life at all. So that's the first thing people need to realize. But once you're passionate about what you do, it never feels like work. Every time I'm stressing about, oh, I need to do this and this and that, I realize deep down I'm not actually angry because I love what I do. Yeah. So just come into the game with the, you know, bearing in mind that this is going to be very difficult, because if you don't do it, no one's doing it for you. There's no one to pick up the loose ends. You have to go and do this. But once you put your heart into it, then trust me, you will just enjoy every second of what you do for sure.
That's definitely it. You also said something earlier on that I wanted to talk about. The way that you were not, you didn't get caught up in the system. I was like, well, you know, let me just go and get a job because I have bills to pay. But you were able to pursue your passion. Was that easy?
That was the hardest. That's one of the hardest things in my life. Like, because I knew it was a risk, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But everything I saw was just telling me, you cannot do anything but this. Every time you try to do something else, yeah, I'm good at this. I can work in an office. I communicate well. I can do all this stuff. But are you happy with what you're doing? And the answer was always no. So it wasn't easy at all. And I just said, I give myself like just a year or two of not doing any work and just going full into this music thing. And as soon as I did that, yeah, all doors just started opening, because once people see that you're passionate about it, I'm dropping freestyles every week, I'm dropping content every day. Like, once people realize, oh yeah, like, he's serious about this, that's when people will, I guess, start to take you more serious. And just so, yeah, it's not easy at all, but yeah, once you get into it, then it's all, you know, basically.
If it wasn't music, what would it be?
If it wasn't music, I would either be a footballer or I'd be a recruitment consultant, which is crazy. Like, it's just vast different worlds, because when I was doing music at the time, I was playing football, I was playing for my school, I was playing for my district, I was playing for Euro Dagenham. I trials for Dagenham. Yeah, like, I was playing.
Oh, you were like serious vibe.
Bro, yeah, I was like semi-pro football, like, on my way. And then I was like 16, I started doing shows and stuff, and I was like, yeah, no, music is just, it's my love, it always will be. Wow. And then the reason I said is because when I was like 18, 19, I was working in an office. It was like recruitment. I was like helping people find jobs and stuff like this. And I was really good at that, but it was not my passion. So it will always be music in the end, for sure.
But that's pretty good, because now you could use your recruitment skills and apply it to the music industry. So it all worked out, you know?
I always say God is so good, because I always think to myself, why did I go through that patch in my life? That whole 4 or 5 years, I could have been 4 or 5 years advanced in my music, and I could have been like already blown, gone. But like, I believe like God did that for a reason. Is because I needed to learn myself first, understand my what I'm good at. And that's why me and Kay always talk about it. It's like, if you have meetings and stuff, put me there, because I'm the guy that will negotiate and do this and that, because that's what I learned from my, you know, past experience. So everything happens for a reason. I'm a firm believer in that, for sure.
Yeah, man. Respect for that. And, you know, we just have like 4 minutes left in the interview. It went by really fast. Let me see. What is it that, like, if you were to work with an artist right now, whatever industry, like 3 artists right now, who would they be? You dead or alive, anybody right now. 3. You can actually go 5 if you can, that you'd want to work with right now.
Work with?
Yeah, any artist.
Getz for sure. Getz is my favorite artist, like of all, East London legend, that he proved that you didn't need to go and sell your soul and go and make all these songs about girls, whatever. You didn't want to make it. Be true to yourself and build a fan base. So Getz for sure. And I know that's gonna come. I've already manifested that. So you know, we follow each other on Instagram. He talks, he mentors me in a way just to make sure, you know, like, so that's going to happen for sure. So Getz, Kendrick Lamar. Lamar for me is the greatest rapper of our generation, in my opinion. He's like, for me, like the Tupac of our generation.
That's a heavy statement, huh? That's a heavy statement.
The thing, like, I don't even have to listen to what anyone else says because I know that. So
yeah, that's a heavy statement.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand lyricists and lyricism. So, like, when I think about these things, it's like, yeah, he is 100%. So, Getz, Kendrick Lamar. I mean, Eminem, he's been an inspiration to me. Like, for me to be able to just be myself, he's the definition of, like, yo, you know you can say whatever you want, whatever you feel in this music thing. I'm like, really? And then you do it, and you realize that if I said, me and Tembo was having this conversation again, if I said this outside of music, you would be like, this Gen guy is a, you know, he's a this and that. But when I say it in music and I add musicality to it, it's like, oh, this is amazing. I'm like, I'm saying some toxic craziness here.
But, like, the earth is flat, and you talk about it in earth, and it's like,
fine, yeah. So I think, Getz, Kendrick Lamar, Eminem, Wretch 3-2. That's my favorite.
Yes, rapper. Yeah, yes, time. Blackout. That's my favorite song, bro. Like, yeah. Yeah, I tell you.
Lyricism through him. The reason I have so many metaphors and punchlines in my lyrics is from him. Like, he taught me indirectly, like, never waste a lyric. Every single bar, he doesn't waste a bar. And as a lyricist, that's big for me. So I think these are, like, I guess the main ones. But now, I mean, I didn't really think about this, but...
Yeah. You know, now, you see, when he said Wretch, like, because, like, that's, like, my go-to song when I'm depressed. Like, that Blackout song, that's, like, my go-to song. Like, every time I just put that up. And even, like, when I, like, even, like, I get, like, a new stereo system, that is literally the first song I play every time, Blackout. Like, real too. So, yeah, I'm getting into my little nerd, my little British vibe now, so sorry. Let me go back to being professional. Anyway, we're just about to close off the interview. Give people your handles, how they can get in contact with you. And for somebody who's verified on Instagram, I find that you respond really faster. Like, I expect you to be like so many DMs, like, yeah, but you respond very fast, so kudos, big up to you, man.
Back to the conversation we were having earlier, I don't believe in all that stuff, all of that blue tick and that you're verified. I'm like, yo, I'm the same person that I always will be. Like money doesn't change that. A blue tick doesn't verify. It sounds arrogant, but it's like, I've been this cold, I've been this rapper since I was 16, like, so I don't need a blue tick to validate me. And I'm always going to be just the same person. I'll reply to messages. If someone supports me or loves what I do, I will thank them, like, because if it's not for people supporting me, I won't be able to do music. So yeah, man, like, I don't ever feel no way about messaging me, hitting me up. My Instagram and Twitter is genmusic_gen_music. And also follow Solstice Sounds on Instagram, which is SOUL Solstice Sounds, because we've got like a lot of announcements and stuff coming up. So yeah, man, don't know.
Yeah, man, Gen, thank you so much. And we're looking forward to hearing some big things between you guys, the whole Solstice Sounds. Yeah, man, we're very super excited. And you know, the collaborations, I'm waiting to hear those things bust and drop. Yeah, man. So big up and thank you so much. Yeah, man, thank you for taking out that time to listen, to talk to us, yeah?
Thank you for having me, bro. Appreciate it. Have a good day, my
All team. Right. Thank you so much. Of course, Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International is brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank you need.